Hi, this is Kara from 91.7 FM, WNJR Pittsburgh, here with Mike Tramp. Mike, you're out on the road with a solo tour here in the States. Tell us how that's been going.
Another one, you know, it's like, who would have thought if you look back 25, 30, even 35 years ago that you'd have actually be a traveling record store, kind of meaning that not just are you bringing the live music to the people, but you also bring in the product to the people, because these days it's almost impossible for people to go into one place and find a new album for someone, you know? Yeah. And so all these things together has made it, you know, a whole new beginning, where in most cases, you don't so much compare it to the past, but you sort of just embrace it as a whole new way of doing things.
Yeah.
And thank God that it's something that fits with who I am as a person. Okay. You know, because I know there's a lot of people that would find this almost impossible to do.
Mm. Well, you know, it's funny. I looked back for the first time we did an interview. It was like 99, and that was around the time you just released Capricorn, your first solo album.
Okay.
It's hard to believe you've put out like a dozen albums since then.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that long ago.
No, you know, when I went into the studio in 96 to record that album, which was my first solo album, one of the things that was very important for me was I had already at that moment been in three bands, of course, White Line being the most known. And I knew that I couldn't give myself to another band. In the way that when you form a band, there's something called an expiration date, there's something called a divorce, there's something called breaking up. And when that happens, a part of you go with that.
Yeah.
So when I did that first album, Capricorn, the most important thing was that it would represent me 100% in who I am as a person, both lyrical and musically, but also, you know, the stand I would take at that time. And that's that was that I and me and myself would represent Mike Tramp. So for the fans, both old and also the new ones that would come along, this would be the artist singing about his life, the way he views the world, the way he sees the world, what he goes through. And like you say, now a dozen album later on.
Yeah.
It has been a journey of 22 years where I have gone through, and each album sort of represents me where I am at that moment, and maybe just where I've been and bringing that along. And that's why this is almost as much therapy as it is art for me.
Well, you know, I noticed when you were doing the new material live, there's definitely a lot of storytelling there. So, you know, where do you find your inspiration, just through your travels and, you know, things?
Yeah, like, I mean, there's not, I mean, there's, you know, like, art imitates life. Yeah. I mean, in that way, I don't have to sit down and look for inspiration. Mm-hmm. I basically just almost have to look in the mirror and just, you know, see how I feel at that moment, or the things that I deal with on a daily basis. It's just what I have chosen. It's what I've chosen to represent in my songs, and it's a great reward when I see and when I hear people coming to the show, and people that get the buy the albums. You know, respond to that they see themselves in those songs, because they're not songs about planets and outer space, or songs about real life, daily life, you know, dealing with relationships, you know politics, war, etc., all those kind of things, people passing away and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just happy that I'm able to be that honest. It, you know, I sometimes find it kind of interesting when people say, wow, you know, it must be very difficult being that honest. Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is, I don't know how to be something else.
Yeah.
It's what I do.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Well, it is. It's interesting because most people are used to that rock and roll in many ways is a facade for people.
Right, a fantasy.
You know, people hide behind a makeup or a stage show and stuff like that.
Right.
And it's a third person. The album or the band is a third person compared to who they are.
Right.
And it's actually something that has come up at times, and something that ends up as a bit of storytelling from time to time, that when I felt that calling back home to where I come from, when I was sitting down and writing lyrics for White Lion and my songs there, and I decided to do subjects that maybe would be quite different from what the rest of the Sunset Strip, you know, Whiskey Rainbow, you know, Roxy audience or bands were doing. At times, you know, the other guys in the band and management were a little uncomfortable with that because it brought out too much honesty and reality, and that wasn't really meant, or that wasn't really fitting, maybe, or they said it wasn't really fitting 1987, 88, 89, MTV, Circus Magazine, Hit Parade, and that kind of stuff. But all I was doing was just being me.
Yeah.
And I'm pleased that I stood my ground, and the songs have stood the test of time, and that I have these songs today to go out and sing, that I don't have to go out there and sing silly, and I call them silly. I call them silly songs because they're songs that sort of work at the moment when we look like that, and we and the world was like that. But 35 years later, and I'm one of the young ones, when I go up on stage and I'm 58 years old, I sometimes think about the ones that's getting close to 70, and they're going to go up and sing some kind of like cheesy, you know, sexual, you know, lyrics, you know? I says, okay. Yeah.
And I've heard some of them complain about having to sing some of those songs.
Yeah, well, you know, you wrote them, yeah. And you were happy taking the cash for it, you know.
Right. Yeah. So we were talking a little bit earlier before we started recording here about your tour in UK. So tell us a little bit about that, since that's up
next. I mean, it's down to like the most basic you can think. I mean, this is an artist, you know, with a guitar and a rental car full of t-shirts and CDs, traveling the country thin. And it's not necessarily the best routing, and sometimes you're out there and you start thinking about if this was how Johnny Cash did it, this is how Bob Dylan did it in the old days, and it comes back to that this is what we do. We are nomads of the highway, you know. And they're as much good as there's bad in it. You really test who you are and come to terms with who you are as a person out there. You weren't able to test that when you were sitting in the back of a tour bus, you know, laughing and listening to rock and roll, or watching a movie while you were cruising to the next show, and a bus driver is sitting up in the front taking you there, you know, parking the bus right outside the sports arena, and you walk straight into a big dressing room and all your gear is in there, so and so. Now you're sitting there and you're dealing with everything that comes your way.
So you said that you're going to have a band for the tour in UK?
After the UK tour is also a solo tour.
Okay.
I started with the band in May, which is back home in Denmark, and do quite a few shows, and in October I'm also playing with a band, but now slowly I'm looking at possibly touring with band for the first time in 12 years in the USA next year.
Okay.
And it's going to require a little bit of logistics, because I don't take anything for granted, and I also don't accept any form of mistakes or something go wrong. I'm very, very thorough in that way. And you know, which both at times can drive you crazy and stuff like that, but at the same time, because I put so much groundwork into it, I can also sit at the after the final show and say, hey, the reason why this tour became a success is because how much you put yourself into it, you know. And it's as simple as that. That's my reward.
So you talk about bringing your merch around with you on the road. If somebody hasn't seen you on the road, where can they get a copy of your
merch? Well, I mean, with the internet these days, you can, you know, the album is going to be released in the USA. I guess it's just as a matter of what is your local record store these days? Where do you find your music and so and so?
I think most people, it's Amazon.com.
Yeah, I mean, it as simple as that, and it's out there. You know, people that want to get the music will get the music and find the music, you know. we all miss Tower Records, we all miss Peaches, we all miss these kind of stores. They're not here, so you're gonna have to walk a little further. It's as simple as that. Yeah, I travel further, you know.
So anything else new besides the album? Any other projects you're working on?
Well, I mean, the thing is that I made a, you know, the new album is called Stray from the Flock, and I almost believe that the first album should have been called Stray from the Flock, meaning that I made a decision there that I should sound like Mike Tramp sounds by himself. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like stepping away from Sunset Boulevard. I was stepping away from the thing that I once had been part of. No regrets towards that, but once it became to that this is Mike Tramp going on at his own, I wanted it to sound to how I in many ways sounded before I even started White Line in my songwriting. So my whole purpose of doing this is has a lot to do with maybe even offering some sort of alternative to the other ones trying to hold on and keep the old flame alive, even though it's all down to embers these days. And it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. And so that's what I'm going for, you know? And I also understand that it comes with both critics and stuff like that. It's that I have just put myself in the place that when you reach for Mike Tramp, you're going to get something that is very distinctive and very much Mike Tramp. You know, you won't get Rat, you won't get Poison, you won't get that. And that's always been my motto in that, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, it's
91.7 FM, WNJR, Mike. It's great to talk to you.
It is my pleasure that still is a home that plays the music.